Hey, this is Paulie Pastrana of Leisureman at NBC Sports. When you want expert advice, you go to a pro. Some folks consider me a pro, Perloff, at Foliage Spine.
Oh, I was wondering what you were going to go with. But yeah, that one for sure.
Yeah, Walter Payton trivia, chili cheese dogs, where to find a good chili. But Foliage. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to take a road trip and you want to go fall foliage peeping, as they say, check the weather first.
Yeah.
Don't just go haphazard and say, I'm going to drive up to Vermont. I'm going to drive up to northern Michigan. I'm going to drive up to Oregon. You got to see what time of year you're going, see if it's a little warmer, a little cooler this year. Foliage is a timing thing.
So every time I look at your computer.
Don't you talk back to me about foliage.
No, every time I look at your computer, these maps with red and green and blue of different temperatures.
Yeah.
And you're like tracking El Nino. Like, there's a lot going on there.
On the Jim Cantore of foliage. And when you're looking for pro tips on vehicle maintenance, repair, look no further than O'Reilly Auto Parts. Whether you need advice on preventative maintenance for an upcoming road trip, seeing foliage, or if you're just looking for the best bang for your buck to get stuff for your garage to keep that car running great, their expert team can help you out every day. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
We're the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man, the leisure man.
Welcome to the Midweek Leisureman Podcast. I'm Andrew Perloff. He's Paul Papps. It is fall, which means foliage and football. Paulie has just been like walking around with a smile from ear to ear for weeks now. Although, I saw something on Twitter the other day. Did you say that the foliage season has been pushed back?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm glad you're hitting the important stuff right off the bat, even though it's a busy weekend of sports. Because of some warmer weather in early September, what happens is if it doesn't cool off enough, the foliage colors don't bloom. So if you check your foliage maps around home, because I think your peak foliage time for driving and looking and taking pictures and all that good stuff might be a little delayed this year. I saw it on the Weather Channel. They're a credible source. That's where I go to. And they call me. I said, yeah, you're right. So keep an eye on that.
As long as we're going to be real here, I have to admit, I'm nervous about visiting you in Vermont.
Why? It's the best thing in the world.
Because I see the video and I see the pictures. You are basically, you have a log cabin plopped right in the middle of a bear sanctuary. I'm not going to have my kids wandering around the house with these, they look cuddly. Yeah, they look cuddly on film. Dude, what are you going to do about these bears?
Well, we do have a couple black bears near our house up in southern Vermont.
That's too many for me.
There's three or four that have been spotted in the neighborhood. And it's because some dope left their trash out. I haven't seen one since. I'm not worried. My local friends who really know stuff tell me not to be worried. They said, if you see a brown bear, which you're not going to see in Vermont, then you got to be worried. Those are kind of the ones that go after people. Black bears usually just kind of run away. Like, they're scared of us. When they hear noises, they scatter.
Except for that one that's not, that one brave bear. You know, black bears eat people, though.
You know, I looked it up, and they said they have no reports in the past 100 years of a person being killed by a black bear in Vermont. I think your odds are pretty good. That said, it was scary as F to be about 50 feet away from one.
Of course. They're dangerous animals.
Well,
and that's why you'd be really careful about the trash, right?
Yes. Well, you can't put trash outside. You shouldn't put trash outside almost any community unless it's really secure. But yeah, it's pretty bad. But we're going to have a good time up there. The apple cider is ready. The apple pie is ready.
Are the trees, but the maple's not running yet, right?
No, the maple's not running yet. Good question. And the foliage is pushed back a little bit. It's going to be a great time. It's getting a little chilly at night. Fire pit, all that bullshit. Let's go. All right, let's talk about where do you want to start? There's a busy week of football.
Well, we have all the football. I'm dying to get to my head coach's topic because I've been laughing so hard looking at this list.
All right, let's hold off on that. Yeah. I want to get real
quick. Let me just tease it. It's the least recognizable head coach. We're going to dive into that.
Visually,
NFL head coach. And it's a harder question than you think.
Right, because I could recognize about eight of them if they walked in this room. All right, Eli Manning, we were talking on the Dan Patrick Show today. Now, this topic is a little played out. But I wanted to point out my reasoning. I was playing very devil's advocate on putting Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame because anytime you have to spend a day discussing someone, then you're finding reasons to put him in the Hall of Fame more so than finding reasons to keep him out, I think.
Yeah.
Unless I'm skewing negative. Look, the guy's got two Super Bowl rings, which means he is going in. So I think we could talk about this topic and poke it and have fun with it because the guy's last name is Manning. He played for the Giants. All those things help. Two rings that he was directly responsible for. Otherwise, a pretty, like a B-minus career regular season. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. It's no big deal.
Well, he had a wide variance. There was a lot of A-minus years. There were some C-plus years for sure.
Right.
That's why it's so weird, because he was inconsistent. Is there anything to the fact that he was the perfect New York quarterback? It's a city that the teams tend to have mayhem, and he was stable. Yeah, he wasn't Drew Brees.
I think that's a great compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the right guy for this team. Like, you could build around, you know, the guys who drafted so well under Coughlin, like Ernie Cortez, you could build around Eli. Like, Eli's going to get the job done. If Eli played in New Orleans with Sean Payton, who knows, maybe he would have had more all-pro stats.
You know, I remember watching the draft. I was at the draft when he got drafted by the Chargers initially, and they worked the trade to go to New York. And I remember a lot of people saying, analysts, I wish I could remember who said it was, and they said, it's interesting because you'd think Eli Manning would want to trade himself to San Diego. A chill community, a low-key fan base, low pressure, more his style. But he orchestrated a trade. His father and his agents orchestrated a trade to the New York Giants, one of the more passionate fan bases and media bases in our country. You wouldn't think he would have wanted to go there.
Right. I mean, the story is, like, the ownership group at the time in San Diego was not good.
Right.
So that was it. But I honestly didn't think that he was that great at Ole Miss. Am I crazy? Like, even his highlights, like it wasn't perfect spirals.
Well, he was good. They had no talent on the team. They were, you know, like 8-4 a couple times, but they were a low program, and he raised them up a hair. And, you know, his last name is Manning. He was going in.
Well, it's weird because that draft had obviously Phillip Rivers and Big Ben. Big Ben's highlights in college were spectacular, but it was at Miami of Ohio. It gets like the Bowling Greens of the world. Then Rivers looked like, I remember I was doing a little bit of draft analysis. I'm like, something's wrong with the way Phillip Rivers throws the ball. And then he's been doing that same weird throw on way to probable Hall of Fame.
I remember the criticism of Rivers. Also, he wore knee braces in college at NC State, and they said he had knee issues and wouldn't be able to move. And he had a little sidearm three-quarter throw.
All accurate.
But they liked his, he had a bit of a gunslinger at NC State style.
Huge numbers at NC State. But, you know, you were saying about how if you have to talk all day about somebody's on a Hall of Famer, but you look at who gets in, like, Pro Football Hall of Fame has not that high of a bar. Like, last year's class was Champ Bailey, great player, Tony Gonzalez, Ty Law, Kevin Mawai, Ed Reed. I mean, Ed Reed and Tony Gonzalez, certainly no-brain first ballot. But these guys aren't, like, you could tell the story of the NFL without Ty Law or without, you know, he's a great player, but I'm not sure that, like, it's not like you watch Ty Law back in the day and be like, oh my God, look at that Hall of Fame guy running around.
Well, there was a time though when he was top two or three at his position in the sport for a handful of years. Ed Reed, to me, he's my single favorite safety of all time.
Well, I knew I was. That's why I said Ed Reed. Ed Reed and Tony Gonzalez. Okay. Kevin Mawai.
Yeah, Kevin Mawai probably went to 7 straight Pro Bowls and 4 or 5 All-Pros.
That's how it works for offensive linemen. Yeah, I just think the quarterback is so different. You know, I'm looking at other names from recent years. T.O. and Randy, obviously, but Morton Anderson, Jason Taylor, pretty good.
I guess
Kurt
I don't,
Warner. They're not all no-brainers. That's what I'm trying to say.
Here's my thought on the quarterback position with the Hall of Fame. If you get two, you're going in. You'd have to find a way not to go in when you win two. But then again, let's say you have a career like Tony Romo. He's played some great football, but he's going to forever be criticized for not winning big games. So when you figure the quarterback position, it's a polar opposite of how you're treated. So everyone's like, oh, it's the best thing in the world to be the quarterback. Yeah, kind of. But if you're on a team that doesn't succeed, you get all the blame for it, except for maybe Aaron Rodgers doesn't get all the blame for it. But almost every other quarterback who didn't win the big one, you know, Dan Marino gets his management gets blamed, the brass for not bringing in better receivers around him. And sometimes they defend you, but look at a guy like Tony Romo. Tony Romo, to me, was quite a bit better of a regular season quarterback than Eli Manning. Watching him play on the field.
Yeah, at his peak, he was great.
And Tony Romo's not sniffing the Hall of Fame.
No, you're right. How about Donovan McNabb? 4 NFC title games. Unbelievable.
He should get credit for that.
I think Donovan has a chance to get, history might change their mind on him.
I don't think there's going to be a groundswell for him. You're a Philly guy, and I know what you're saying.
I think the fact that he was a prominent African American quarterback in a time when it was not as easy when he came in '98, and like he had so much success, his numbers are great.
And it's sad to say, if Donovan goes 1-for-4 and loses 3 NFC title games and wins 1 Super Bowl of those, he's in for sure.
Absolutely, it's interesting, by the way, and you know Cam Newton, because of injuries, might not make it in now. Only because he was almost every MVP ever has made it in. The last one not to make it in was Sean Alexander, and the one before that was McNair. But again, injuries played a part in that. So I feel like if you make an MVP, you're a strong candidate.
Cam Newton, his career might be in the position of Kurt Warner, where he had an MVP and made it to a Super Bowl. Kurt Warner won his.
He won his.
But Kurt Warner went away for a while. He had the pinky injury and the finger injuries and hand injuries and elbow. And then he had a resurgence with Arizona and almost won a Super Bowl. He almost gets credit for winning two for taking Arizona there. Now, if Cam Newton can get his career back together and somehow go or win even one more Super Bowl, even attend one more Super Bowl as a starting quarterback, he could sneak in on the backside.
Yeah, or if he gets a couple more Pro Bowls, because his numbers are very good if you put in the rushing numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, but again, health, man, he is just, it feels like one thing after another. Very similar to Andrew Luck. I feel like those guys' trajectories are the same.
If Russell Wilson somehow had a terrible knee injury.
Yeah, he's in.
He's in?
He's in. But let me tell you one other, can I say, and I know this is going to be personal, one other four-time Pro Bowler who made the Hall of Fame who I never understood, Dan Hampton, of all the guys on the 85 Bears, how that dude made in the Hall of Fame. This is old school. I'm sure if you're younger, you have no idea. But like Dan Hampton wasn't the name we talked about on that team.
Yeah, the Chicago Bears had a lot of good players, and I don't know if they just said, we got to pick one of them. Because there's, you know, Mike Singletary's in, Wilbur Marshall's not in, Otis Wilson's not in, Richard Dent.
Didn't he get in recently? Wasn't in forever. I got it.
Who's that?
Richard Dent.
I don't think.
He got in on the Veterans Committee.
Well, that's, I can't believe I forgot that.
Yeah, no, it was because he missed his early votes and then he was named as a veteran.
Hampton was a better player before the Bears got really popular and then he was still a very good player.
Oh, okay.
But other guys kind of caught up to him.
Richard Dent was the star of that defense. Him and Singletary.
Yeah, and to me, Dent was the most important guy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he got the Hall of Fame because he got the least credit nationally.
He was one of those guys, you know how they come back around like a veterans committee. But anyway, so that's a total.
It's okay. You know,
I feel like I've become like the critic of the 1985 Bears because I was killing you on Twitter and I was enjoying it so much.
Well, they are the one-hit wonder of sports.
Yeah.
They might be the ultimate one-hit wonder of sports where they had one year.
Yeah.
And it's such a focal point. I mean, they get more coverage than the Miami Dolphins undefeated team.
Absolutely. A lot more of us remember the 85 Bears, too. And they had a song. You know, the Dolphins, there was no song for the Dolphins.
Song. Great video, by the way.
Yeah.
Super Bowl Shuffle.
Can we do the head coaches? Or you go down?
Yeah, fill me in on what the premise is.
Okay. Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and earn 1 point for every dollar spent. Receive your rewards twice as fast and on the go when you provide your email address. O Rewards members get $5 back for every $150 you spend. It's fast, easy, and free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store or orewards.com for details. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Pat Shermer's been in the news because he announced that Eli Manning will be benched for Daniel Jones. I've seen probably a dozen Pat Shermer press conferences. When I try and think of what does Pat Shermer look like, it's a blank slate. I can't remember. So I was arguing, okay, I've tried to put together a list of anyone who challenges him as least recognizable. Let me throw some names at you.
Can we start with Shermer?
Shermer being number one, yeah.
If he walked in here, the New York Giants head coach, without New York Giants gear on, and you didn't tell me there's a head coach walk in the building, I don't think I'd recognize him because I feel that, who was the guy a year and a half ago?
Ben McAdoo, you knew
McAdoo
him.
McAdoo I recognized because he had that porn mustache and
the
slick hair.
Yeah, of course. All right, Sean McDermott. He's got a little baby face.
No, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I don't think most people would. Matt Nagy without a hat walks in. He has no Bears visor.
Yeah, I'd still... no Bears visor.
Yeah, you're a Bears fan, so you probably would, but the average fan?
Every guy on our crew looks like Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
The guys in the back room, they all look like Matt Nagy. I'd say yes, only because I'm a hardcore Bears fan.
Zach Taylor, Bengals coach. Nobody knows.
No chance.
Freddie Kitchens, we would know.
Fredo Kitchens, I've seen a lot of... he's got a lot of TV time.
Vic Fangio, you would know because he's way older for any NFL coach.
Still wouldn't know him.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay, Matt Patricia, you know. He's big time.
What if he had a suit and tie on and was shaved?
No, you'd have no idea. But I know him for the Roger Goodell clown nose barstool t-shirt. I'll never forget him for that. Okay, Matt LaFleur. I mean, he might be in the room right now. I don't know. Matt, are you here?
I'm going to say Matt LaFleur of the Packers. He's got a lot of TV time because of the reactionary shots with him.
Oh, you're right.
And he's a pretty handsome dude.
He's super handsome. But if we're going to rank good-looking coaches, he's making a run at Cliff Kingsbury.
He's a very, I think he's the kind of guy you want to bring home to mom.
Okay. Bill O'Brien, we all know. I don't know why.
The chin.
Yeah. Frank Reich. Ooh.
Good hair. And plus he played ball. Yes.
Yeah, but
I'll recognize him.
Doug Marrone.
Nope.
He's very, I know he's a former O lineman. He's big. Andy Reid, everyone knows.
Sure. And Andy Reid's wearing shorts, even if it's 8 degrees outside.
Anthony Lynn on the Chargers, not a lot distinguishing him there.
I would say yes, because I've seen him on TV enough.
Yeah. Sean McVay, we all know. Mm-hmm. Brian Flores. I don't know if the people know Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores.
No.
It's too soon.
I saw him on TV the other day, and I'd never seen him before. I'm not kidding.
Mike Zimmer, I think we know him. He's got those red cheeks. Vikings?
Yes, and he always wears glasses.
Bill Belichick, obviously. Sean Payton, yes. Shermer, new. Adam Gase, you know, I think Adam Gase is one of those faces that just doesn't stick very well.
But he's gotten a lot of press being in New York lately with his big eye rolls.
Right, but
if
he didn't do the eye roll and was just normal.
Oh, if he had like a pair of sunglasses on and no chance.
Okay, are there any other guys? Gruden we know, Peterson we know, Tomlin obviously. Kyle Shanahan, I think we know, but I don't know. Do we know Kyle Shanahan?
Nah, he looks like every other guy.
Yeah. Okay, Pete Carroll we know, Arians we know. Now, Jay Gruden, it's funny. Jay Gruden's face is not one that jumps to mind that easily. I know what he looks like.
He looks like, do you remember that movie, She's Just Not That, no, what's that movie with the Jay Baruchel? Where he dates a girl who's way too
lighter
hot.
Hair, yes.
Jay Baruchel, the actor, is a comedian. Oh, gosh, skinny kid. And he's in this movie where he's dating a girl who's way too hot. And his older brother, I don't know who plays him, but he's like a real meathead type of dude. Always wears cargo shorts and wants to mess him up. Look up that Jay Baruchel movie. That brother looks just like Jay Gruden. Like if Jay Gruden were 15 years younger.
Did you ever see the movie, too, where Jay Baruchel and Seth Rogen are friends at the end of the world and they're James Franco's house?
Oh, yeah.
That movie's very funny.
That movie is the first time you... Is it called The End of the World?
I will. Effort, I'm going to look it up as we speak.
I was thinking about that movie the other day because... Well, there's a scene with Michael Cera.
Michael Cera is unbelievable in that movie.
He owns that movie.
This is the end.
This is the end. The first time you see that movie, you might be a little like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think if you watch it again, it gets better.
The way they make fun of James Franco for being dumb is unbelievably funny.
I think that's an underrated, well, I don't know how it's rated.
It's really good. A lot of people I know don't love Jay Baruchel. He's sort of the lead in that one with all these amazing actors. It's like, wait, should Seth Rogen be in the lead?
But that's cool. That's why the movie had some coolness to it.
Yeah. There's one line that reminds me that I always think of. Craig Robinson from The Office was talking to Jay Baruchel. He's like, he's trying to figure out who's a hipster. He goes, if you didn't like the movie Forrest Gump, then you're a hipster. What do you think of that definition?
That's great. Yeah. Jay Baruchel, She's Out of Your League is the movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's She's pretty good.
It's a pretty good movie.
It's okay. It could have been better. The premise is great.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if he...
It's not great. I like it. I've watched it probably 4 times, which means it's got to be pretty decent.
Yeah, I thought you were going to... Remember the one... I know all the teenage rom-coms. Okay. The back of my head. Do you remember the one where Heath Ledger was in Seattle with my girl?
Williams?
No. The girl that I had a brief thing with.
Emily Blunt?
No.
I'm hitting your wheelhouse.
No, she was a big teen star. We talk about her all the time. I saw her after the concert. I said, and she's in the Bureau in the Bourne Identity.
Julia Stiles.
Julia Stiles, right.
I never saw that movie.
Yeah, okay. You haven't seen it? It's like 10 things. It's based on a Shakespearean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I thought that's what you were talking about at first.
You know, my wife watches this movie with Matthew McConaughey. Is it?
Oh.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Yeah, I was on the other day.
What's the woman's name?
Oh, Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
That's funny.
I've probably seen that movie with my wife. Like, I'm in the room present about 17 times because my wife watches it. I've never seen the first 15 minutes, so I really don't know what's going on.
You kind of need to see the first.
I know.
And that Matthew McConaughey, and we're allowed to watch rom-coms with him because he's part of the canon. He's amazing. There's another one called Failure to Launch with him and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Is it Terry Bradshaw on that?
Terry Bradshaw's in it. And the scenes with McConaughey, first of all, I don't know what happens to the writers in these movies. They write 45 minutes of a movie, and then they're lost toward the end.
I really believe when I saw that movie, Failure to Launch, I admit it, I saw it, that McConaughey was a big star. They got him to be in the movie, and then they said, here are the people that are up for your role of dad. And he goes, what about Terry Bradshaw? And then that was enough to get Terry Bradshaw asked to be in the movie.
Two more movie questions. Have you seen the movie where Ed Helms and Owen Wilson are looking for their dad and Terry Bradshaw is in it too?
No.
Yes, it should be a movie that we've seen. It's I don't know what it's called. Ed Helms and Owen Wilson, their mom, they looked, and Terry Bradshaw might be their dad. That sounds like a movie we would love, but I never saw it.
Any good comedies this past year?
Have you seen Tag with
John Hamm?
Ed Helms, John Hamm, Jeremy Renner.
It looks good.
Yeah, I saw it on a plane. It's pretty good.
Plain good or good good?
Plain good. Oh. That's a good question about like the great comedies of our youth. What happened to them? Where are the comedies?
It seems like, well, I think a lot of guys like Seth Rogen is doing more serious stuff.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill, more serious stuff. Even Vince Vaughn's doing more serious stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
And they've kind of taken themselves out of the game. You're basically, if Judd Apatow makes it, we got to watch it. Otherwise, that's not it.
There's a movie about middle schoolers where they curse a lot that just came out. Bad Kids, yeah. That's supposed to be funny, but yeah. The commercial didn't do it for me, so.
I'll tell you, I saw that movie Bad Moms about four years ago. That's a pretty good comedy.
That's pretty good. It's not Bridesmaids. Bridesmaids, where do you put that?
Bridesmaids versus Bad Moms?
I'm a huge Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids with Melissa McCarthy.
By the way, what's her name in that movie? Rose?
McGowan?
No, Rose.
Byrne.
Rose Byrne? Boy, she's good.
Yeah, she's a Neighbors. Your all-time favorite.
I love Neighbors.
Your favorite. Are they making a new Neighbors? What's that guy brought
up
to?
I hope so. Neighbors 3 or due.
You like it? Because, yeah, because you were in a fraternity in college. You'd be like, yeah, I can relate to Zac Efron. And anyway, I don't even know if that movie could get made now. Although the second one was more politically correct, right?
I don't know about that. I think just not enough people saw it.
Remember the scene where Zac Efron is sitting there and all the girls are texting about him in the second one? Yeah. Like, we got to let him go.
And there's an entire discussion around him while he's babbling about
something. He's babbling about something. And they're like, oh, he's so good looking. Do we really have to let him go? And then they go, we've all talked about it. You're fired. Yeah. Zac Efron is really funny, by the way.
He pulled that off. He's been in a lot of movies. You know, Zac Efron was in a movie. I think we mentioned it here before. It's called Parkland. And it's about...
what is that?
It's about... The hospital that John F. Kennedy went to when he was shot in Dallas. Hmm. And it's basically their view of what happened. And so it's not about the assassination per se in Dealey Plaza. It's about the doctors at Parkland, their day, dealt with the people, the president's handlers, the video, the signing, you know, like Zac Efron is the doctor and there's a few other doctors. It's a pretty good movie. It's not a great movie, but if you're a history buff, and a JFK buff, I think you'll like the movie Parkland.
That sounds great. Yeah.
I don't think it got any buzz or any release.
I don't even know it. I'm a big JFK assassination guy. That sounds really cool. Although I got to tell you, Zac Efron is a doctor in a serious role. I admit, I don't know.
And I'm telling you, they take actors like Zac Efron and they try to make him less good looking.
Yeah.
Which is tough to do. It's like making a Porsche, like not washing it for a month.
Yeah.
But he's also playing a doctor, so he's still well scrubbed and like, decent looking.
He did play Ted Bundy in a movie recently. It was like a straight to video movie.
And that's fair because Ted Bundy was a serial killer in the 70s and he was notorious for obviously being a serial killer, but also being extremely handsome.
Yeah.
And he had like marriage proposals when he was on death row, blah, 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 blah. And I remember the coverage of it. I should say reading about it. And it was like, how does a guy who looks like this, who thinks you have everything going for him, become a serial killer?
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody as good looking as Zac Efron, you just assume there's something off-putting. You know, Zac Efron, it's not a huge stretch to say, so that was supposed to be his career changer. It sounds like he's trying to get into serious movies, but I think he has another big role coming up. Man, those abs. If I had those abs, I'd be an actor.
Never leave the house. All right, what else? Real quick, do you think if you ran the Jacksonville Jaguars, would you look at this as, this is what I look at as, an opportunity to trade Jalen Ramsey.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
They got 3 years out of him. Really good years.
Yeah.
This is his fourth. Then next year, they got to start really paying him. Like, his next year's contract escalates up.
Mm.
And then he's a true free agent, and you're probably not going to pay him. So you do it now, and you get a first-round pick and a third-round pick, and you move on.
I think they'd be happy if it was a good first round pick. You know, they don't want to trade him to the Eagles and get the number 24 pick or 25 pick. They want to trade him somewhere. And
you think Dallas is in play? They don't have a high first round pick.
Dallas is kind of loaded on defense though, and they have all this money. The problem is Dallas is, yes, I do think they're in play because they're a contender, but they're strapped money wise. They got to pay. Mm. They have an all pro in Byron Jones. He's a great cornerback. They got to pay Van Der Esch. They got to pay. I think they did pay Jalen Smith. They have to pay Dak still. So I don't know if, you know, you're talking about the money. Are they going to be able to pay $90 million for Jalen Ramsey? I don't think so. I could be wrong. I like one thing. You always look at the money. Minka Fitzpatrick, that trade was kind of crazy that Pittsburgh might not be good and they traded first rounder for it. But you say it's okay because of the money.
Right. I kind of learned this from you. You said always with quarterbacks and ranking quarterbacks and signing them and bringing them in. No, everyone looks at the quality of the player and no one looks at the length of his contract or what he's getting paid or what he's due to get paid. And some of these NFL teams, I'm sure they look at that first. You look at Minkah Fitzpatrick, he's a year and a half into his career. That means they have the next two, and the Steelers have the next 2.5 years of Minkah Fitzpatrick, maybe 3.5, and they didn't have to pay his rookie signing bonus.
But I'm starting to think, Paul, though, that these guys are getting so unhappy towards the end of their fourth and fifth year, especially the defensive backs. And Minkah Fitzpatrick already won out of Miami. If you don't pay him immediately, do you really have, in today's NFL, with everything that's going on, do you really have control of what your rookie contract says? Or is the guy going to start being unhappy?
Well, I think you really have these rookies for 3 years guaranteed. I guess they could hold out their fourth year if they want to
well,
give up
really,
a year pay.
A first-round pick, you have 5 years and you can tag it for the sixth.
Yeah.
But it seems like the recent guys have been like, I'm not playing that game. You know, they've all... So I do think you're right. It makes sense. But I think if you don't pay Minkah Fitzpatrick in 2 years, he's going to be like acting out.
Well, the next CBA is up at the end of next season, correct? Mm-hmm. The collective bargaining agreement between the players' union and the NFL.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be... I don't think there's going to be a strike, but I think that the NFL players are going to ask for a lot of adjustments in contract timing, the franchise tag. I think that's what they're going to ask for, more so than guaranteed money. I think they want to get that rookie deal over faster.
Yeah,
instead of 4 years with a fifth, I think it's going to be 3 years with a fourth.
That rookie deal did not work out for the players.
No, it worked out great for the owners.
Yeah, and the veteran players did it. They signed off. He's like, what do we care about the rookies? We're in the league already. I think it didn't work out, and it kind of suppressed the veterans. So, yeah, that's what worries me, too, that, like, Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, could, if he's unhappy in Miami and Pittsburgh's not good, players get miserable on bad teams. Real quick, you didn't answer. Would you, if you're, like, a contender, would you pay all that money for Jalen Ramsey? Would you trade for him, give up a first-round pick, and put in a ton of money? Let me give you a team, the Chiefs. That has been in
rumor. Oh, man, that's tough because you're so close to the Super Bowl. And at the very least, you get him for a year and a half.
And why?
I was about to say the Rams.
Yeah,
but they're in pretty good shape.
They got guys.
Yeah.
I feel like the Chiefs are so desperate, and they can pay them. You know, I don't know. Eh.
You know, if I'm on the Chiefs, I look at it like I'm trading the 28th, 29th, 30th pick in the draft to get this guy. So now that's not that big of a deal.
But I was reading the Jaguars are not that interested in the Eagles and the Chiefs because they don't have the draft capital. So they're wise to that. It's funny because remember the Raiders traded Khalil Mack to the Bears, and they're like, wow, it's just the Bears. They're going to be 10 to 20.
Right.
And then the Bears got Khalil Mack and killed everybody.
Yeah. And they had their draft pick would have been like 24th.
Yeah. It was 24 because Josh Jacobs, which actually will work out. But
nice pick.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, Leisureman weekend ahead, the Leisureman tips. I'm going up to Mount Snow, Wilmington, Vermont, Westover. There is a thing called the Wine and Harvest Festival in Mount Snow at Mount Snow. It's wine. I don't know what the harvest part means. I think that means food. But there's booze, there's foliage, there's people standing around in flannel shirts. That's my weekend.
There so are you going with a chilled white? Is your wife going rosé? What's the wine of choice?
I'm a deep red wine fan. I don't do white wine.
Is white wine not as manly? I don't even know.
I just like the taste of it.
Okay.
It's drastically different.
What's your wife drink?
Mostly white wine.
Because my wife and her friends are all about rosé now. Rosé is the thing.
Very popular. It's kind of it's kind of a hybrid of white and red wine.
Kind of sweetish.
Yeah, very sweet and light. It doesn't feel like you're drinking something heavy at all.
Yeah, and if it's sparkling, oh my god!
Oh, the women are all over it.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
Get some White Claw on you. Take care.